I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is the first wire that I've obtained that did not go through a shell company. And that's very important because we're fixing to issue subpoenas for the personal bank records. And what the Bidens have been arguing to the media behind closed doors, their allies in the media, is that, all the business was transacted through the shell companies. Nothing was transacted through the personal accounts. That's why they don't need to be nosing around in the president's family's personal accounts. This is $250,000 wire. And then there was another $10,000 wire that was sent directly to the president's son's personal account.
Yeah. And then there's that wire. Of course, there's going to be an explanation for it. We know it. Yes, the House began its impeachment inquiry today, bringing forward witnesses, mainly testifying, reference law and order type things. Jonathan Turley, professor of law at George Washington University, and others who were basically telling the public listening and watching some very elemental things, not getting into specifics so far, but this is just beginning. And I got to tell you, I would love to have a heart monitor on Joe Biden as this is underway. Hey, thanks for joining us. Here we are, September 28, 2023. This is the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA back-to-back. And we, of course, when on the air, are streaming video at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. You miss anything, either video and our audio, or you want to watch it back, or you want to share it with someone, I always encourage you to share. You simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you'll find everything. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Oh, I know somebody's saying, what about the debate? I actually, I don't hear a lot of you crying out about it. I'll tell you how I'm treating it. That was more of a cage match of shouters. Any points scored? Few, if any. The real winner wasn't even inside the cage match for shouters. That would be Donald Trump. So I'm not even going to be bothering you today with any repeat of any sound from the debate, if you want to call it that, last night. It was so bad. They were talking over each other so often, so much, it was hard to decipher anything. Opening statements, and after that, a free-for-all. Kids wrestling in the mud. That was about it. Spit in your eye. Poke me with a stick. Jammy. Oh, that hurt. And no, I didn't. I'll come back at you. That's what it was. If you're interested in listening to sound bites, you're going to have to go somewhere else because I really don't care. There was nothing of value in the thing. But back to the GOP congressional investigation. And, of course, focusing on Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family. Last night, Congressman Smith of Missouri and his committee released some devastating pieces of, quote, evidence.
Moments ago, the Ways and Means Committee, we voted to release over 700 pages of additional material provided to the committee by two IRS whistleblowers, Gary Shapley and Joseph Ziegler, who came forward at great risk to their careers and reputations to bring to light evidence of corruption and misconduct within our federal government. On June 22nd, the committee voted to release the initial testimony of the two IRS whistleblowers that showed wrongdoing and misconduct at both the Department of Justice and the IRS. Their testimony then also shed light on a complex and lucrative enterprise operated by the Biden family to enrich themselves to the tune of at least $20 million, with much of Hunter Biden's share going unreported for taxes.
Oh, and there's that issue. But if you recall, part of the cover-up was to walk away from the investigation into any tax violations until the statutes would run through. You can't charge them if the statutes have run out. But yet it still happened. And those IRS whistleblowers can now explain how and why it happened. And that's part of the 700 pages released by Missouri Congressman Smith's committee last night. Now, the White House response has been and continues to be, all of this is a dog and pony show. That's what they want you to believe, as if the Adam Schiff and his Trump collusion was not a circus, much less a dog and pony show. Congressman Comer.
It's unbelievable the lies that are coming out of this White House, and it's sad that for once the American people are not buying what they're selling. They realize there's something really bad going on here. They have a simple question for Joe Biden and his minions in the White House. What exactly did your family do to receive the money? Now, with respect to that newest lie, they said that there's no new information. We're going to talk about the wire that we just released within the last 24 hours, the $250,000 wire from the Chinese national to Hunter Biden while Joe Biden was president, was a candidate for president, that was sent to Joe Biden's house in Delaware.
See, how are you going to get around that? Well, they have an excuse. We'll get into that again. We touched on it some yesterday because we knew that story was going to be part of the hearing. But a $250,000 wire sent to Joe Biden's house in Delaware. Now, Hunter Biden did reside there from time to time. But here's the key. Was he at the house when that wire was sent there so he could get it right away? I mean, wouldn't he want the money right away? Yes, Larry, that's a good question. And the answer is yes, he would. Well, then there develops another issue. Now, back to Congressman Smith and what they released through the House and Ways and Means Committee. Now, this 700 pages includes emails among IRS agents, Justice Department prosecutors, internal IRS reports, transcripts of interviews with witnesses in the criminal probe, handwritten notes from meetings and others. Now, again, I called it earlier, quote, evidence, because it's not actually introduced in a factual way yet. You're just kind of getting a sniff of what's inside. But I believe, and I think many will, even Democrats, are going to have to acknowledge everything in there can be damning. And I want you to listen to one part. Fox anchor Maria Bartiromo read one of them.
From documents released just moments ago, as you can see in the WhatsApp message behind me, from June 6, 2017, Hunter Biden explicitly wrote to a business associate that he was not willing to, quote, sign over my family's brand, close quote, or give this individual, quote, the keys to my family's only asset. That asset could only be one person, Joe Biden. IRS investigators provided worksheets they compiled as part of their investigation into Hunter Biden's tax crimes, which connect his business activities to official government activity.
Now, I wanted you to hear again from Congressman Smith before you hear from Maria, because again, he sets up for you some of what's inside these documents. And now back to this specific piece that is included inside those documents, as read by Maria Bartiromo.
The Ways and Means Committee also released a 2017 Hunter Biden text message in which he says, quote, I'm willing to sign over my family's brand. And he referred to access to his father as the keys to my family's only asset. This is an incredible text message that he is sending. He's saying it right there. I'm willing to sign over my family's brand, and that the keys to my family's only asset. Then there's this text message. Jim Biden, the uncle, sent Hunter in December 2018. He's discussing working with Joe Biden in the past, saying, quote, "We, as usual, just need several months of his help for this to work."
That is such a direct connection that can't be denied. We just need a little bit of time for this to work. And there's another part that goes on then. You know, if you can't be available, we'll work with your dad. I'm looking through some additional information and some of the pieces that have been released in this hearing today. And I got to tell you, the Democrats are doing their best they can to denounce everything, which you would expect. I mean, they're raising questions like asking Jonathan Turley at one point, the Washington School law professor, as to, you know, if you're trying to impeach a president but you don't have real evidence, does that damage our Constitution? How dare they ask that question now compared to when they had Trump and all the allegations against him, but no evidence, none? Adam Schiff would always claim, we've got evidence. We never saw any evidence. The only thing he had was a Steele dossier, which now we know has been debunked, even the FBI admitting it, and even the Department of Justice had to admit. It was all part of a political tricks campaign created by Hillary Clinton and the DNC, along with the Russian collusion hoax in general. And not one Democrat during those hearings asked, you know, how bad is it to try to even impeach a president if you don't really have his name on a check or something of that nature? You've always heard there is, quote, guilt by association. Sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. I mean, if you hang out in the past with some guys that are known for going around breaking into homes and pawning things off, and you're hanging around with them, and you didn't take part in any of them, you're kind of guilty by association if you're running around with them, and yet you're not really guilty. Joe Biden, I remind you, had repeatedly said, constantly, I never discussed business at all with my son. I never knew anything about what was going on. And yet these whistleblowers who've come forward, the IRS whistleblowers, Gary Shapley and Joseph Ziegler, who had testified in the House Oversight Committee about how all this stuff was being blocked. They could not even mention so-called the big guy. They could not even mention Biden's name. In fact, they were told to strike it from one of the documents that they had presented. And they were claiming that constantly we were told to slow walk everything. We were being backed up. And they even had, of course, one of the deputies in the DOJ who worked under now Special Prosecutor Weiss claim, you got to take out this. There should be nothing about political figure one in here. Political figure one is Joe Biden. And she was basically stating in her email, an email from August 2020, the warrant was for BS, an apparent reference to Blue Star Strategies, a lobbying firm representing Burisma Holdings, the Ukrainian company, where Hunter Biden was on the board. And of course, by then, the Hunter Biden criminal probe had expanded to include whether the U.S. activities of that firm violated foreign lobby laws known as FARA, failure to register as a foreign agent. And she is writing to the IRS agents. I'm not sure what this is cut and pasted from, but other than the attribution, location, identity stuff at the end, none of it is appropriate and within the scope of this warrant. And there should be nothing about political figure one in here. Now, you take that again in reference to what Comer has been saying all along, and we all recognize what Joe Biden was giving in the process.
All these people who were paying the Bidens, first of all, Joe Biden met with every single one of them or talked to them on the phone, even though he lied to the American people and said he never met with any of them. He met with all of them. They were all in trouble. They were all needing help from the United States. If you talk about the Romanian money, the Ukrainian money, they were being investigated for corruption in their home countries. They needed help from Joe Biden. In China, this was the Chinese government. This was the Chinese government sending direct payments to Joe Biden's immediate family. And what they needed was help navigating the bureaucracy and eliminating barriers to entry in our markets. The one thing in this building that Democrats and Republicans agree on is that China's our biggest threat, and we do not need to allow them to purchase ownership into any industries, especially industries crucial to our national security. That's what Joe Biden was doing. He was working with his family on deals to try to help these crooks get out of trouble and to help gain access to our markets in the United States. So this is very serious. This is evidence, those two messages, number one, that there was the Biden brand, that's influence peddling, and number two, that they were working directly with Joe Biden.
And then there's this, which we're going to get to later in the second hour. Hunter Biden, at one time in one of his emails that was found on iCloud, referenced selling access to his daddy as, quote, "These are the keys to my family's only asset," the only asset being Joe Biden. "I'm not just going to give them away. We'll have nothing of value." And then you look at the GOP judiciary chairman, Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, and he says, everything here is linking Hunter and Joe Biden.
The most telling evidence is what his business partner said. Devin Archer, when we deposed him under oath just 2 months ago, said this. Here's the question. The request was help from the United States government to deal with the pressure they were under from their prosecutor. You know what Mr. Archer's response was? That's correct. Next question. What did Hunter Biden do after he was given that request? He called his dad. That's what we're investigating.
Call daddy. We're going to have more on today's oversight hearing, the hearing in Congress right now, and the 700 pages released by the Missouri Congressman Smith as well. That's all coming up in hour two. Plus, how DEI might be disappearing from colleges and universities. That would be interesting. Is it coming apart? And yesterday we had a technical electronic failure. Let's basically call it a power outage. And a major interview I had promoted got lost, was not aired. We are going to repeat that. And at the beginning of it, and as you hear in the next segment, I referenced the debate from last night. So you have to accept that was already part of it. But this is the pastor who said, woke Jesus is alive. Lock and load, ready, on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I mentioned that in the next hour, and you're going to hear a clip coming up here shortly from Tucker Carlson, and it also is going to relate to wokeism. Wokeism is, of course, all around us, constantly attacking your children in schools and on your job and in the military. And you might feel, at least I have a safe place in my home and my church. Whoa. Maybe not in either one of those. And I mean, especially your church. Joining us now is Lucas Miles. He's a pastor. He's got a great book out. In fact, Miles has been around for a long time talking, is also the host of the Epic Times Church and State. With his program, he's been on with Charlie Kirk, Sean Hannity, and others, and has out a new book titled Woke Jesus, the False Messiah Destroying Christianity. Lucas, glad to have you on board.
Hey, good to be on the program.
So, again, when I mentioned, as you were hearing, folks think, well, when at least when I go to my church, all this stuff can be put aside. I can focus on my faith. What is happening?
Look, I think that the leftists and Marxists in this nation decided that the church was a great distribution method for their message, and there's been a massive infiltration that has taken place across virtually all of our denominations to some degree. And I've argued there's a greater divide today in the American church than even during the Protestant Reformation. Between this worship of a false gospel with a woke Jesus and the true biblical Christ.
I want to get into the distinction in just a moment, but churches have often been a vehicle, and they certainly were among black churches, one for voter organization and fighting the Klan, that kind of thing, and then also was used by the Planned Parenthood founder, Margaret Sanger, and basically telling the black church leaders, pastors, spread the word that if you get pregnant, you don't want to have the baby, this will help, and it will help control population, when it was really an act to eugenics. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, look, this is not the first time the church has been utilized as a propaganda center. We saw that in Nazi Germany with the hijacking of the church there. As our friend Eric Metaxas says, that there were people that were willing to trade the Bible for Mein Kampf and the cross for the swastika. We're seeing that same sort of behavior now. It's actually what I call the true Christian nationalism. You know, conservative Christians get accused of being Christian nationalists because they love God and country. That's not Christian nationalism. That's just called being a good citizen and being a good Christian. But what we're seeing on the left is there is no distinction anymore between the doctrine of, say, the current administration and the doctrine of the progressive church. They have the same view about sexuality, immigration, the same view about open borders, the same view about gender, marriage, etc. There is no difference. Why? Because the progressive church has bowed the knee to this statism, and they are using their pulpit in order to be a mouthpiece, you know, for this current progressive doctrine that we're seeing.
Let me take a side road briefly and then come back to this, because something you said, Mexico has in the past criminalized abortion. Recently it's been decided it will not be criminalized except for about four or five states inside Mexico. A lot of that comes from the Catholic religion, which is entrenched in Mexico, and many of the Mexican citizens and Latin citizens and Spanish citizens, they all believe in no abortion. But now what is happening with those churches and those arenas and the abortion before we get back into the states?
Yeah, I mean, this just shows that this is happening on an international level. There was an infiltration within the Catholic Church in the 1950s and 60s with what was known and still is to this day as liberation theology. Liberation theology, our current pope is a liberation theologian, and liberation theology is a blend of Marxist ideology and Catholicism. And this has really gained a lot of prominence, I think, in various parishes. I'm not Catholic myself, to be clear, but this is something that you know, the Catholic Church has dealt with kind of their own brand of wokeism, and arguably earlier on in the U.S., that jumped to America in the form of black liberation theology, which, you know, eventually kind of has sort of morphed into this and amalgamated into the social justice movement and critical race theory. And it's very hard to kind of distinguish these things, but they're all very similar origins that have, you know, sought to really hijack the doctrine of the church, to use the name of Jesus and use the scriptures as the justification for Marxist ways of thinking.
My gosh, you're the book, by the way, folks, again, Woke Jesus, the False Messiah Destroying Christianity. Now, dealing specifically with the woke Jesus, I mean, how's it being presented inside churches when it's basically just sliding by minds, be they in Sunday school, the kids, or even the adults in the main worship service?
So, look, we have extreme examples which are much easier to recognize. You know, you see the churches on social media or on the news that are, you know, they're holding drag, you know, queen, yeah, you know, shows at the church, or the priest is up there with a rainbow, you know, flag or something like that. This is easy to point out for most people. Where it gets challenging is those that are kind of maybe a little bit pulled back on that spectrum, that are pushing woke ideology, but they're doing this under the guise of orthodoxy. And that's where that gets challenging. What we've done is actually we created a website called AmericanPastorProject.org, and we have a statement there that pastors can sign. And one of the best ways you can know if you're at a woke church or not is you bring your pastor the American Pastor Project website, and you say, hey, take a look at this statement. Would you be willing to sign this? And it's a commitment to a biblical view of marriage, sexuality, gender, a biblical view of God as creator, biblical view of the Lordship of Jesus, Trinity, that, you know, historic Christian doctrine. And if your pastor, you know, kind of, you know, pushes back on that, there's a good chance that you're at a woke church. So, you know, this is just one of the resources we've created. But I think you need to know where your pastor stands on marriage, sexuality, abortion, you know, these major topics. And ultimately, where do they stand? Is the Bible, do they believe the Bible is the authoritative, inerrant, God-breathed word of God? Or is this just a history book with a bunch of lessons? Is it just a, you know, some sort of a pick and choose, you know, verses that you want in order to justify your belief system? You know, where they really stand on historic Christian teaching.
You're listening to Lucas Miles, and I'm going to let you challenge me. I born in Texas, and I often say it's already pre-stamped Baptist on the birth certificate. Later became a Presbyterian, so either I got lost or found. Then the Presbyterian Church had a division, specifically along homosexual lines and positions of leadership, things of that nature. And then I personally have a lot of gay friends, and I love them, and I care for them. They are adults. It's their life, not mine. And I don't think I should be judging them. I count God as a judge. Am I wrong for being not in their face? Because I've got members of my own church saying, why are you doing? Why aren't you putting the Bible in their face saying this is against God?
Great question. I think this is a question that probably a lot of people would ask. You know, a couple things on this. First off, as a Christian, I believe that it's imperative that we hold to biblical views and mandates regarding marriage and sexuality. So the biblical position, the position of historic Christianity, is marriage is between a man and a woman, and that heterosexuality is the righteous expression of sexuality that was created by God. Anything outside of that is sin. Now, now it's also important to recognize that look, our good behavior is not what makes us saved. We are saved by grace through faith because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, I don't subscribe to a form of Christianity that I should just go around and individually tell everybody what's wrong with them, how messed up their life is.
So you don't want to judge and condemn them directly.
I'm not trying to condemn them in that way. I believe that God is in the business of trying to rescue sinners from hell rather than send people to hell. He is a rescuer. I can't bend on what scripture says. I can't, you know, if they want to know my opinion about these things, I'm going to tell them. Every now and then we have people that will come to our church that are from different backgrounds. We're not trying to run them off, but we cannot embrace, condone, accept their worldview. If they want to embark on a relationship with the Lord, we would say God loves you but you know what? You give me 6 months, 12 months of discipling you in the Word of God. You're going to look back. You're not even going to recognize yourself because the transformation that you're going to go through.
You're accepting the person. You're accepting the person, not what they do.
Love the sinner, hate the sin. It's what Christians have said
exactly,
for a long time.
Exactly. And I know I'm fully a sinner. But, I mean, we've had changes in churches, and we don't have a lot of time left. But, I mean, things that I remember in the Presbyterian church in particular, where I am, they started kind of a more modern, not a rock band type thing, but it had music that appealed more to young people, young Christian artists, and some of the others were said, oh, no, that's not our church anymore. And even the children's choir came out and sang one morning, and when they finished, the people began to applaud for the children. And one woman, as the applause died, could be heard clearly as she turned to her husband and said, this is church, not theater. I'll let you have the final remarks.
Look, as Christians, we should be seeking to unify over what I would call primary doctrine. There are secondary issues that we can debate. We can have preferences. What you're describing, I would say, are tertiary issues. These are third level things that people get really worked up about, and they've lost sight of the main thing. The main thing is that there is a world that's dying, that's on a crash course for hell, and they need to hear the gospel. And the gospel has the power to transform their life. If we're more worried about the color of the church carpet than we are about saving a sinner who's lost, then I would say that we ourselves are the one who's lost in that moment. The church isn't perfect, but I believe it is God's last-ditch effort to save the planet.
I most certainly say amen. Thank you. Lucas Miles, Woke Jesus, the False Messiah, Destroying Christianity, available everywhere for you. Now, crime. It's growing to an extent you might not even believe. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a fighter combi. On a hippie trailhead full of zombies. A
met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So I do have some information on a unique crime, at least for now, and I'll explain in a moment. But before that, another crime that's in the building, and I don't mean in our building, I mean it's in the process of growing, and the leftists and the state-controlled media are passing it off as, this is a good deal. Do you remember, I'm sure you do you remember the 51 former intel agents who signed off and saying in advance of one of the Biden-Trump debates in a letter stating that the Hunter Biden laptop and all of that had signs and marks of Russian collusion? And I've told you repeatedly, I don't believe a single one of them ever even looked at the information. They were simply asked by other intel agents of like mind, hey, would you sign this? And as I've said, would you also maybe buy my Girl Scouts cookies? Would you do that? Now, that same group, from that same group, wait till you hear this. And this is Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, charged with protecting our nation, as is Joe Biden and others. But here is a Homeland Security Secretary establishing what he's calling now the Homeland Intelligence Experts Group. Homeland Intelligence Experts Group. They're going to meet four times a year, apparently. They're going to give the agency that would be the DHS information on, quote, some of the most complex problems and challenges, as according to Mayorkas, including terrorism, fentanyl, and transborder issues, and new technology. They're going to give their advice and so forth. I think a common man could give them a lot of advice on those points without even knowing, quote, intel. Which really brings to mind, when we say these are intelligence officers, you want to read and look up the definition of intelligence, because it does not fit what they did reference just signing a letter on something they never saw. And now here's the extra crime that's coming. Some of those same ones, according to Mayorkas, are now going to be serving on this new committee. That's right. The same ones who signed false statements, there was Russian collusion involving the Hunter Biden laptop and Donald Trump, and they never saw anything from the laptop. They were just asked, will you sign off on this? So Joe Biden can have it and wave it in Trump's face during the debate, which he did. It's also going to include journalists. Oh, there's another questionable word nowadays, right? Journalists. So, according to Mayorkas, our group will include former senior intel officials, journalists, and this is a quote, prominent human rights and civil liberties advocates. And again, many of them are known for trying to discredit the New York Post story about the Hunter Biden laptop in that letter used during the 2020 presidential election campaign in one of the debates when Biden met with Trump. Do you smell something bad already? Well, of course you do. You didn't step in it. Somebody did, but you can sure smell it, right? These guys, they just think they can get away with everything and anything. And I remind you, if the House fell to the Democrats last time, you wouldn't be getting any of this information. coming out today in the House committee hearing impeachment inquiry. All right, to this new crime, and it's escalating. It's happening in San Francisco Bay. In the bay? What are they stealing? Water? No. These are what they're calling, according to the police chief watching over it and the Coast Guard, these are sea-bound bandits raiding yachts and houseboats in San Francisco Bay. They say they steal anything of value, and then either they sink the ships or dump whatever they decide they don't want miles away. And each attack can cost the owner thousands to tens of thousands of dollars. And if they sink the ship, obviously you're talking about a lot more money. Thieves have been stealing boats or using old abandoned dinghies to then get aboard some of the larger ships and yachts they can locate in San Francisco Bay. If you're going to walk down a gangplank, down where these boats are docked, you have to have an access code to get through the gate. But if you're already on the water, you can kind of pull up to one. That's what they're doing. Who knows from where they're launching, but they've got a target. They're going to have to put a fence around the entire area where the yachts are docked. They're going to have to put additional security guards on for sure. I'm looking at these pieces of this story as they're coming out. One resident lives nearby, says, we kind of are in a little lagoon area. He said, this is probably the most popular boating area in San Francisco Bay. The weather's great. He said, but since summer, we're pretty sure just general thieves and many of those that are homeless are taking over little parts of the area and then also using dinghies and small boats to go out and steal what they can off the yachts. If they put that kind of intelligence to use, maybe they wouldn't be homeless. You agree? Well, of course, Governor Newsom of California is responsible for the decay of his state in so many ways, not just in crime, but also allowing schools to employ woke staff preying upon children. That story coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Why should parents not know if their kids are transitioning at school?
It's a hell of a thing. You're talking about 1% of the population. Climate change, its impact, 100% of the population wasn't even brought up. And we're talking about trans issues.
Here in California, this is an issue for you.
It's a big issue for parents.
This is a front and center issue.
Why should parents not know? This is one of the greatest distractions. Right? It's classic. 1% of the population in the United States. These kids just want to live.
These kids just want to live, according to Governor Newsom. That was a Breitbart reporter that grabbed Newsom as he was leaving last night's debate, if you still want to call it that, as I said in the beginning of today's program. I'm not even bothering to carry any of the sound. I could run the sound of cars crashing and train wrecks. It'd be about what was on stage last night. But as he's leaving, he was upset. There was no discussion about climate change. So the Breitbart reporter is asking, while he's in the spin room after this second GOP, quote, debate, why should parents not know if their kids are transitioning at school? Because in California, they're blocking it. He says, it's a hell of a thing. You're talking about 1% of the population. Well, come to think of it, if it's just 1% of the population, why are we changing anything? But then he wants to point out climate change. That's going to affect 100% of the population. It wasn't even brought up. You know, we're talking about trans issues. You know why we're talking about trans issues, Governor? It's because it's our kids, not your kids. And if it is only 1% of the population, why the hell are you foisting it upon these children and denying their parents knowledge of what's going on? Because you want it to be more than 1%. And you want the state to control children and their parents. And in fact, get rid of the parents. Send them off to indoctrination camps. And then you've got a perfect example of what they're doing in California. When they want to tell you that we're not trying to groom anybody. We're just, you know, if the child feels that they are a different gender than what they were born, we're trying to help the child. Gender-affirming care, as they like to refer to it. They're not caring for the child. If a child really is that dysphoria, they need help, not sudden surge of puberty-blocking drugs and surgery. And a governor and others going along with it to assist affirming. Point here, the mayor of Burbank, California, he's at a Democrat fundraiser recently. And he decided, I want to get some additional publicity, and I think what I would do is, he allowed a drag queen at a fundraiser to spank him. And this same guy claims, as he's running for L.A. County Supervisor, from the mayor of Burbank to become the county supervisor of L.A. County, he's made it clear he wants to destroy police, prisons, and he claims Marxism is real. In fact, he was asked recently, do you support abolishing the police? His answer, yes, I'm a full abolitionist. I support a policeless state. Riddle me this. Do you think he has police around him as he goes to various functions? You believe that perhaps he has at least a burglar alarm at his house? But he's all about a policeless state. In fact, he says, and I'm quoting him, I don't believe police have any effect on crime. Well, I can't totally disagree right now based on what we're seeing happen, because police are basically, they're handcuffed, and whatever they do, carry out proper law and order, then the prosecutors are setting the criminals free and looking for a way to charge police to the point where police are saying, you know, I'll just pass on arresting this person. I don't want to get wrapped up into this. But let's go back to the mayor of Burbank, who wants to be the L.A. County Supervisor. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets it. After he got spanked by drag queen, I mean, what else can you do, right? Well, he continues to say, I want a policeless state. I don't believe police have any effect on crime. The instigators of crime are poverty, mental health, economic issues, drug addiction, the family or locale that you live in. Well, now, in Philadelphia the other day, and them breaking into all these stores, the hundreds overwhelming police, I should not say hundreds, or probably less than 200, teens going crazy, videotaping like it was a basic mob action, which it was, as posted on one of the social media outlets to get everyone to come on down. And one of those instigating it got caught by police coming out of a liquor store and saying, basically, this is what you do when you don't have good policing. And then the other one saying, you know, stealing shoes, and they don't just steal any shoes. They're looking for the high-end shoes, Jordans, Nikes, whatever, because they can sell them and make more money. And then maybe buy food. Is that the idea? They didn't break into a single grocery store and take anything of food. And this same Democrat mayor is saying the fundamental understanding of how we convict, catch, chase crime and criminology and treat people in jails and prisons, all of that is flawed. He said that worked when you're five, but we're talking about human beings on a massive scale. We have to get people back into society. There won't be a society the way this guy's going. There'll be a state controlled, and which he admits to. He said, I believe most people in the U.S. are Marxists. They just don't know it. I ask people all the time, hey, do you work for somebody, or are you on your own boss? And most say, yeah, I work for somebody, but I want to be my boss. And he said, cool. You know who wanted everyone to be their own boss? Karl Marx. Yeah, let's see. He did point that out. And then he adds, most people don't understand that the American dream they're chasing is something Democrat socialists have been fighting for 100 years. We want you to be your own boss. And that is a lie. And Marxism is a lie. It works as long as you're taking money from someone else. And when they run out of money, then nobody has anything. And, of course, the state of California is suing oil companies, claiming they're responsible for climate pollution. And they're always looking for money to take from somebody. Second hour, you don't want to miss our interview, reference DEI evaporating.